what happens after you die will be determined before you die.
You only get one chance before you enter eternity. This is a special edition of Issues in Education dealing with the most important issue of your life, your eternal soul.
This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
Is there a literal heaven and hell, or are they just figments of our imagination? Many people die suddenly and enter eternity without being prepared for it. What happens to people who die but don't go to heaven? Do they just cease to exist?
96% of the young people are not Christian.
Bill Weiss, a good friend for decades, is the author of 23 Minutes in Hell.
Our guest is Bill Weiss, a successful and wealthy realtor, and he's not a preacher or someone who exaggerates, but he's a longtime true friend of ours.
Bill's spirit was actually taken through a vision to hell. You went to sleep that night, and you didn't know you were going to go to hell that night, right?
No idea. We came home from a prayer meeting that night, and went to bed like any other normal night. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was just picked up and taken and dropped in a prison cell in hell. The reason I knew it was hell right away was because of the intense heat. So far beyond the ability to sustain life, I wondered immediately, how am I alive in this heat? It was only light for about a minute, and then it went dark. It resumed its natural state, and I believed it was just the Lord's presence was there so I could see for a moment. Then he left, and I looked up, and I saw these two huge creatures. Now, I didn't realize then that they were demons. I didn't know what they were. They looked reptilish, but they were about 12 or 13 feet tall.
And you're in this cell, which is like 15 feet high by 10 feet wide, so they really took up most of the cell.
They took up most of the cell. They were so huge and grotesque, deformed and twisted, scales and bumps all over them. They were pacing up and down like a caged bull. They looked at me, and horrifying, I should say. There's really no words to describe the terror, because I noticed I had no strength in my body. I could barely move, so I couldn't even get out of their way. I couldn't defend myself in any way. I've had some experience with fear. I used to surf a lot, and we were off surfing in Cocoa Beach, and there was a school of sharks came by, ripped the guy's leg off next to us, and then grabbed me and pulled me off my board, bit my board in half, and grabbed me by the leg and pulled me under the water. You can imagine how terrifying. Well, that fear paled in comparison to what you feel in hell.
This is fascinating because you could see, hear, touch, smell, taste. You had all your senses, right?
Right. This comes under the classification of a vision in the Bible. And in Ezekiel 8:3, he was picked up by his hair and carried to Jerusalem. He wept. He ate. You can experience things in a vision the same as you can in your natural body here, because you have a spiritual body. All through the Bible, Paul and John, when he went to heaven, they actually traveled in their vision. Like, John went to heaven and experienced. He talked to an elder. He wept. And you experience things in a vision the same as you would now. Well, when I was in the cell, two huge creatures grabbed me and picked me up and threw me into the wall, just like I weighed like nothing to it. A tremendous strength it had. And I felt my bones break. There's real physical pain in hell. It's not metaphorical, just in your mind. You really feel the pain. I collapsed on the floor. The other one picked me up and dug its claws right into my chest and just tore the flesh off. And I looked at my body, and it was just shredded. All your life, you work hard on taking care of yourself, and now none of that mattered. My body's still living through this, yet it's torn apart. And I noticed that there was no blood or water coming from the wounds. And we know there's no water in hell. In Luke 16, it talks about the rich man was so thirsty, he wanted one drop of water to cool his tongue. There is no water. So you never get to experience water again. It's like you're the living dead. If you can imagine running through Death Valley, not having anything to drink for a couple of weeks, and putting cotton in your mouth, that's how you feel all the time.
It's like everything's magnified down there.
It is. I felt that everything was about 1,000 times worse than what it would be here, because I knew I was down deep in the earth. I knew how big the cell was.
Okay, so you saw these demons, and you said they were grotesque, putrid, rotting in a thick, smoke-filled atmosphere. Their flesh seemed to be decomposing right on them. That's stinky.
Right. It was like a dead being, rotted, falling apart, but still alive.
And so the smell was really horrible, right?
It was so putrid that it was toxic. You really couldn't breathe. If you go to Hawaii by the volcano, you can't go past a certain point because the sulfur fumes will kill you. Same in hell, that sulfur smell and the rotting flesh and decomposing flesh is so putrid and foul, it's disgusting. You don't even want to breathe. Also, you can't breathe. There's not enough air. Any breath I took, I gasped for, like an asthma attack, can't get air. It's the same thing. There's not enough air. Each breath, you're struggling to get barely any air, and you feel like any second you're going to die from no air. So you have to experience that for eternity.
How many beasts are in your cell now?
Two, and then two more walked in. I crawled out, and for some reason they allowed me to crawl out. I looked in one direction, it was pitch black. total darkness beyond the darkness which you could feel here. Then I looked in no other direction, and I could see just a tiny bit. The flames were leaping high in the sky. That was about 10 miles away, this raging pit of fire. But the light didn't travel like it would here on the earth. It was very limited in its travel.
The huge leaping flames were so huge, and yet the light didn't fill up the area you were in. Darkness swallowed it up like a black hole.
Right. That pit of fire was about a mile across. That much fire raging would light up a large area here, but there it doesn't travel. I wanted to talk to somebody, like, what's going on? Why are we here? What's happening? But you never get to talk to a person again. You're kept isolated. I saw people through the flames, but you don't get to be with them. No fellowship, there's no conversation, ever.
You heard screaming. When was that?
Immediately. When I was in the cell, I could hear it, but when I got out of the cell, the screaming was so loud and deafening. It's terrible to hear someone scream in terror, someone like in a terrorized state. Well, there's millions of people screaming all at the same time. So you never get peace of mind. You don't get away from the sound.
You were aware that the people on Earth didn't believe this place exists. Nobody on Earth knew what was going on, and really nobody cared.
The majority of people up on the Earth's surface here don't realize that there's a whole world going on down there. They don't even know all these people are down here that used to live on the surface and had a chance to stay out of this place. But now they're all confined there for eternity. There is really a whole world going on down there. And I thought so much about my wife. We really are close, and to be away from her, and the thought that I would never see her again, she would never know where I was at, could never get to me, and I would never ever be able to talk to her again. That thought alone was so tormenting, I couldn't stand to bear that.
The agony, you're never going to see them again if you don't have the hope of heaven. How anguishing and terrible that is. But then here you were in hell and thinking you're never ever going to see somebody you love so much again.
Hopelessness. And I understood that I would never get out. Here we can't quite grasp eternity. We think of time as a beginning and an end. But there, in the spirit realm, you understand that there is no end to it. You'll never get out. She'll never see me, ever. No hope. We always have some kind of hope here. Even if it's a terrible situation, you would hope that you die to get out of it. Well, there you never can get out of it. And that's what's so awful to experience, is the hopelessness.
No love. God's love is gone. The mercy of God. There's no chance ever of asking His mercy again.
No, and there's absolutely no mercy there either. Absolutely none. Those creatures have no mercy for you whatsoever. They hate you with a passion, so there's no mercy in hell. None.
So why did these demons hate you so much?
Well, the Lord explained that on the way back. At this point, I didn't understand it, but He said, because you're made in My image, and they hate Me. They have a hatred for God and a hatred for His creation.
Because they can't get to God, they hurt His children, right?
Right. But in hell, if they just hate you and you don't belong to the Lord anymore.
You said there was no conversation, but there were other people, or why didn't you talk to them?
Well, you're kept apart from them. There were people in other prison cells, lots of people in different prison cells everywhere, but you're all isolated. Then there's a large open area of fire, a huge raging pit of fire that was about a mile across. There was lots of people in there, but they were all engulfed in the flames, so you can't converse with someone. You are in agony burning, so you don't get to really talk to them. It's not like you're relaxed in any way. You are in anguish and torment. I didn't go into the fire. I just viewed them. I was so glad I wasn't thrown in the fire. It was already so hot, terrible heat that you're experiencing, but I didn't want to go into the flame.
Okay, you believe that hell is right now located in the center of the earth?
I do. I knew I was down deep in the earth. I just had an understanding that I was. But besides that, I found 49 verses in the Bible that talk about where hell is right now.
Did you ever get very close to the flames?
Yeah, I was real close, 25 feet away from the pit of fire raging. And that's where I could see the people through the flame. They were burning. They were skeleton form, no flesh on their body, just skeletons screaming in agony. I felt so bad for all those people.
Some comparison to this would be the people that jumped from the Twin Towers on 9/11 just to escape the 2,000-degree heat. They chose to die leaping out of a window than face the fire. Yet in hell, there's no escaping this fire.
Right. Scientists have said that they believe that the center of the earth is about 12,000 degrees. So they face 2,000 degrees for 15 seconds to incinerate those people in the towers. But yet, rather than face that 15 seconds, they chose to jump, which is a terrible thing to jump off that.
But it's a terrible thing to be burning and not be consumed. It's something you continually endure. There isn't just that moment where you get the pain and black out. Your bones are continually broken. Your flesh is continually ripped off your flesh. It's really an incredible thing.
It really is. There's scripture that support all this. It's not important that people really believe my testimony, but we're just a signpost to point people to what the scripture has to say. Just look at what the Bible says. Investigate it for yourself so you can make an informed decision and avoid this place.
And you said, with thoughts of utter hopelessness flooding my mind, I looked out at the flames. All the memories of what a wonderful life I had enjoyed was now a world apart, just a thing of the past. There was no goals, no wisdom, and no opportunity to speak to anyone. Purpose was non-existent. All life was over, and a useless wasting away permeated your being.
You have absolute wasting away, suffering in torment all this time along with it. And the thought that you have to endure this forever, and it will never end, to never end, it's just beyond anything. Nobody should go there, I'm telling you. It's, God didn't make it for man. It says in Matthew 25:41, he made it for the devil and his angels. But yet man has a choice to make.
He allows people to go there, but he's done everything he can do, including the crucifixion of his own son, to stop people from going there.
God has done everything he can throughout people's lives. He gives people so many chances to repent and avoid hell. He's trying desperately to keep everyone out.
People don't think there is a hell, which is the first mistake, so they don't believe it even exists. And then nobody thinks they're going to go there. Everybody thinks they're going to go to heaven. You hear this, oh, all roads lead to heaven, especially in our culture.
Right. Churches are teaching, what's my quality of life in this life, not what is my life going to be after. And a lot of the major ministries didn't have one teaching on hell.
Oh, you don't hear hell talked about much from the pulpit, and maybe that's why there's not much fear of the Lord in this culture.
You don't see much of that fear because people don't realize how severe hell is and try to walk a compromised lifestyle and think they're just going to be fine. But God tells us to not to walk that way, to fear him.
And that's why when we tell people that Jesus loves them or Jesus saves, it really means nothing to them unless they know what they've been saved from.
Right. Just to hear God loves you, they don't really care. But you realize you don't know him, you're going to this place. There's really a place called hell, and it does exist. He doesn't want you to go there, but you have to make your choice here.
Just not believing it exists won't save you from going there.
Exactly. Some people have said, Bill, but isn't that narrow-minded of you to think that just Christians are the only ones that are going to go to heaven? That's pretty narrow-minded of you. But if you invite me over to your house for dinner, and you say, go south on Highway 95, turn right at Main Street, go up the hill, you'll come to my house. And I say to you, you know what? I think I'm going to go north on 95 and get off at MacArthur, because I think all roads lead to your house. You're not going to get to my house. God gives us clear directions to his house. If we don't want to follow him, then we're not going to get there. It's that simple. He knows where he lives. I think
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Walter Martin used to say, you can go to heaven God's way or go to hell your own. Have a good trip.
Exactly. Even Charles Spurgeon, one of the greats of the past, said, quote, there is a real fire in hell as truly as you now have a real body, a fire exactly like that which we have on the earth.
The Bible told the truth, didn't it?
It did. Some people think, well, it's just fire of a mental anguish of some kind. Well, it's a lot more than that. It's real fire.
Where are we in your vision?
Meeting the Lord. This was the most glorious part. I was there the whole time as an unsaved person would be, just as a person that never accepted the Lord. And I didn't understand that then, but the Lord explained that on the way back. As I was viewing this pit of fire, something began lifting me up out of it, and I began ascending up through a tunnel. And there were all these demonic creatures all around the tunnel, huge creatures, but they were all chained to the walls. I was glad they were. They couldn't get at me. But going up this tunnel, the fear was so overwhelming. I was in total darkness now as I left the flames. And then all of a sudden, a bright light showed up. And I instantly knew who it was. It was so bright, and I didn't see his face, but I saw like an outline of a man standing in this bright light. And I just collapsed at his feet, and I knew right away, and I said, Jesus. And he said, I am. I was so grateful. 1 second earlier, be condemned there to hell, and now all of a sudden be out and know that I was not going to have to stay there. He placed it back in my mind that I was a Christian. You see, he blocked it from my mind that I was a Christian. He blocked it so that I could feel the worst part of hell, which was the hopelessness. You see, if I would have been there as a Christian, I would have known, hey, I've got hope. I'm going to get out of here. I'll pray and God will get me out of this. He didn't want me to feel that. He wanted me to feel what they feel, the hopelessly lost forever, which is the worst part. Torments are terrible, but to know that you'll never get out is really suffering in your mind. That's what he wanted me to feel, so that's why he blocked that from my mind. And I first thought, Lord, why did you send me to this horrible place? And he answered my thought, and he said, because many people do not believe that hell exists. He said, even some of my own people do not believe that hell is real.
This is fascinating, because you could see, hear, touch, smell, taste. You had all your senses, right?
Right.
Any idea how you got into that cell? Was there a tunnel you descended into?
I was falling falling through the air and just dropped and landed in this prison cell.
Now, here's something, though. You often hear people make light of hell. They say, oh, well, I'll be down in hell with all my drinking buddies, or we'll have a good old time in hell.
When you're right in the flames, it's thick smoke and flames. And even if you could, it didn't matter. You're in such anguish and suffering. You're not really identifiable anyway. The flesh is all gone off your body, and you're just a skeleton form.
But what amazed me is you actually can feel. You feel the flesh off your body.
You feel it all. And remember where Jesus said, where their worm dies not and their fire is not quenched.
Did you see maggots on you?
I didn't see them on me, but I saw them all over the place.
Oh, and that smells too. I mean, that's a stench.
It's a terrible smell, and along with sulfur. So the combination of all that, and there's no fresh air down there ever. So it's so putrid. I saw spiders that were 3 and 4 feet across. Huge spiders, snakes, worms, maggots, demonic creatures that were 12 or 13 feet tall. But everything was deformed, twisted, and no symmetry to the body.
And at one time, these deformed, grotesque creatures, at one time, they were angels in heaven. Isn't that incredible?
These were fallen angels, and the sin has corrupted them so much that they look so disgusting and deformed. It is so terrifying.
You said you heard no screams of children, that there are no children in hell. You want to explain that?
You can tell the difference of a kid crying and an adult. So there were no sounding of children. And in the outlines I saw, the people through the flames were all adult-sized skeletons. There's a lot of scriptures that point to no children are in hell.
Boy, you think about some of these people have been there for thousands of years, every day, day in and day out, and they got many more thousands to go.
And after 10 million pass, you just started. Never ends.
And there's no rest, no quiet, no peace, hopelessness. That would be exhausting.
It is. You never get to go to sleep there, ever. I was absolutely exhausted. There's no rest. There's no peace. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. In Psalms 127:2, it says, God gives his beloved sleep. Well, you're not his beloved there. See, these things are all things that come from God. So all these things we take for granted, they all come from God, and you're separated from God there.
What stopped these people from getting out of the flames in the huge pit?
They were attempting to climb out, just trying. They're desperately to get out, but demons pushing them back in all around this pit, shoving them back into the fire. It was so terrible to see it. And these demonic creatures have become the lowest form of life, zero IQ. And now you're subjected to these creatures that are the lowest form of life, and they can dominate over you. No matter how tough you are on earth, you're nothing in hell. You're humbled. Those things torment you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I know some people who believe hell exists. That's the ones that are there.
Yeah, they sure believe it. And they wish they had just one opportunity again to stay out. And they've replayed that in their mind. All the times people witnessed to them, they heard the Bible preached, and they denied it. That plays back over their mind.
So what you believe determines where you'll spend eternity.
Exactly.
As you were being tortured and beat up, you said you wished you could have escaped. Everyone there is on the verge of insanity, but there's no escape through death or insanity.
Right. I felt that you're at the brink of insanity, but you don't quite get there because it would be another mental escape. And so you just stay right on the verge of insanity. It's terrible, but be a relief to be insane. You might not know where you're at anymore, but you never get to that point.
He can't force them into heaven. He says, here's how you get there. If you want to live at my house, you do it my way. You come through my son. So if people say, you know what, I don't believe that. Well, then he has a verse for them in Revelation 21:8. It says, all unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. So people send themselves to hell, not God. He's trying to keep them out. If you're in hell, God can't take you out after a while and put you into heaven. Well, I paid off my time in hell. I paid for my sins. You can't pay for sins. Only the shed blood of Jesus can pay for sins. And then he can't let us into heaven the way we are, because we would corrupt heaven just like we have the earth.
They're in essence saying to God, I really don't value what you, God, what you've given for me. I don't believe that Christ can save me. So really, they're calling God a liar.
Right. And here he sent his most precious gift, his own son, to die for us. And people say, I just don't value what you value. I don't value your son, and I don't believe you. That doesn't fly too well with God. We have to realize who we're sinning against, too. Thomas Aquinas made this statement, the greater the one sinned against, the graver the sin. In other words, if I lie to you guys, it would be wrong. But if I lie to the Supreme Court, it would be worse because of their position. Well, God is infinitely greater in position, and he's also infinitely greater in being. If I step on a bug and kill it, no big deal. But if I kill a dog or cat, that'd be worse. But yet if I kill a human being, that would be far worse, deserving of a much greater punishment. Well, God is infinitely greater in being also. Therefore, our sin against him is deserving of an eternal punishment.
Yeah, it changed the way you looked at people. You said, after this experience, you began to look at people and were thinking, I wonder how many of these people are going to hell.
Right.
right. Everybody I'd see, I think, most of these people probably don't know about Jesus. I've got to tell them. I've got to find a way to tell them.
When you were experiencing the Lord's presence, were you coming up through a tunnel, and did you look down on hell and saw all these compartments?
At first, when I was coming up, I could see the pits of fire. I mean, hell is really big. I only saw a tiny piece of it, but I knew it was big. After we came out of the tunnel with the Lord, then I could look back down. He allowed me to see people falling down through this tunnel. I saw one after another falling back down that tunnel where I just came out of.
I think God allowed you to watch a steady stream of people falling through this tunnel to give you an idea of what He sees. The tragedy of one soul lost is utterly horrific.
It is. And He allowed me to feel just a piece of His heart, how He feels. But I couldn't even stand to feel what He feels, the sorrow He feels for people going to hell. He doesn't want to see one person go there. And He felt sorrow for that, so much so that I couldn't stand to feel it. The overwhelming sorrow of a person dropping into hell for eternity. He wept over this. And I said, Lord, stop. I can't stand feeling any of what you feel. God's love for us is so much greater than our capacity to love. That's why He wants us to go and share the good news, let people know the way out of hell. Jesus truly loves everybody so much. He doesn't want anybody to go to this place. He went through so much to keep us out, paid such a terrible price suffering on the cross like that, for people to just take it so lightly, overlook it. Such a shame.
Tell us what happened when you went to that college.
They asked me to speak on my experience, which was unusual at a secular college, but I didn't even get 5 minutes into it, and the kids all started raising their hand and asking questions. Not one kid there knew anything about the Bible. Nothing. I'd quote a scripture, and they didn't even know what a scripture was. They go, what's a John 3:16? Nobody ever even seen the Ten Commandments. They had no knowledge of God. It was just amazing to me that this generation that's coming up doesn't know anything about God or the Bible. And a lot of them came forward and said, you know, we want to know more about God. We never heard anything about this. They feel they're entitled to go to heaven. If there is a heaven, they're entitled. I'm pretty good. I should go anyway.
For you to even suggest that they would go to hell is like you're robbing them of their life.
Right. You're insulting me to tell me that I would go to hell because I don't think the way you think. And instead of trying to give the antidote, it's like if you go to a doctor and he says, you need this antibiotic because you have an infection, you're going to die unless you take it. You wouldn't say, boy, that doctor's mean and hateful to tell me I'm going to die. No, you'd be grateful for the antidote. God gives us the antidote for our sin. Sin is causing us to all die, and without Jesus, you know what's going to happen to them. That's why we want to warn people. We know where they're going to go. So it's not anything to do with hatred. It's to do with love and warn them.
Boy, that's a good analogy. As Christians, we don't want anybody to go to hell.
If you plan a trip to Europe, you investigate the hotels, the restaurants, you want to know everything about it just for a short vacation. Why wouldn't you want to check out eternity? At least do some investigating and find out where you're going to spend eternity. A lot of churches we're finding are not preaching about hell. God wants people to know about it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 10, 11, he was talking about the judgment seat. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Once you understand the terror of the Lord, which is the judgment, you will be more persuasive. The fear of the Lord has to fall back onto the church so that we feel an urgency to go out there and witness. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We become a little bit complacent.
One of the best ways to witness is to get your kids into a school that witnesses every day, or homeschool them.
Right.
What do you say to the people who say, what kind of a God would send people to hell?
God doesn't send you at all. You have a choice in life, just like we have a choice with everything else. You can choose to get educated, to go get a job. Well, the same thing. You have a choice to make yourself. You choose life or death. Jesus made it clear. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He made it clear. He is the only way. Once you're there, it's too late. You'll never get out. I was not dead. I was not condemned there. I just traveled there in a vision.
Now, what do you say to those who think once you die, you're just annihilated? You go back to nothing.
Well, I know a lot of people think that, but there are so many scriptures about suffering eternal fire. Revelation 14:11 says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. You will last forever. You will not be annihilated. There's no such thing as annihilationism. Jonathan Edwards, he said, eternal punishment is not eternal annihilation.
In the Bible, the word eternal life is the same word as eternal death, and Jesus uses both in the same sentence in Matthew 25. So how long is eternal life? It's the same duration as eternal damnation or eternal torment.
Exactly. They're both the same time.
Would you like to conclude this program with a prayer?
Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You want to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven. You can know that today. All you have to do is repent. Repent and ask forgiveness. That means turn from your sin and just say, Lord, I need you and I cannot save myself. If you're willing to do that and repent and ask Jesus into your heart, pray this prayer with me right now. Father in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. myself. I believe you died in my place. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take me to heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mm. Bill Weiss, author of 23 Minutes in Hell, has been telling us about the future destiny of those who refuse to accept God's grace in the Savior, Jesus Christ.
God took Bill's spirit to hell so Bill could come back to warn unbelievers, because God loves them and doesn't want them to go there.
Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He said in John 3, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Salvation not only saves us from hell, but brings spiritual life now in a living, loving relationship with Jesus himself. No one can love you or your soul more than Jesus. Jesus died for you. As John 5 says, he who has the Son has life, that you may know that you have eternal life.
True believers know that they will never go to hell. They're going to heaven because Jesus said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. What a hope we have, and an assurance and a joy. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1866, Broad is the Way. That's number 1866, Broad is the Way. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.